Service in the United States Congress. I took the initiative in creating the internet.
This is dedicated to all the hackers and the crackers. To the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me do my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones. And NASDAQ leaves you flat on your back. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated. dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial code, source code, ISO, RAM, SIP, SIS. Dedicated to the hackers and the crackers.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Binary Revolution Radio, episode 22, coming to you this day, Tuesday, December 2nd, 2003. I am Stank Dog, and I am joined by one of our favorite co-hosts on the show today, Voodoo Hal. Welcome back to the show.
Man, I'm so touched. What's up, everybody?
And we have a very, very big announcement, breakthrough. What do we... I don't even know how to describe our big...
Changing, life-altering...
Yeah, when we get... Okay, we're going to do a little housekeeping first, but we got an announcement. We found some information, not through any subversive means. We just actually bothered to read and pay attention to what's going on, whereas apparently a lot of other people have not. And we will talk about that in a little bit. But like I said, let's go straight into the housekeeping. The smoking gun can wait, I guess. First thing I want to talk about is some changes to Rant Radio. Now, we've talked about in the past how Rant Radio has split into three channels, and we are now streaming on the Rant Radio Talk channel. Now, obviously, we all know that because you're listening to us on that channel. However, the change, the new thing now, is that Rant Radio is going to begin airing past episodes of Binary Revolution Radio. They're going to add them into the rotation and play back episodes during the day along with Sean Kennedy and their other regular shows. So we're going to have a hopefully reach a wider audience in the middle of the day, in the middle of the night, if you feel like getting your Jones on for a little hacking information. You can catch up on those old shows, or if you're sitting at work and you want to listen, you can hop on to Rant Radio Talk and check out. They're going to be played in kind of a random order. There's no control over what order they go in, but I like to think, for the most part, they stand alone. We don't really make it a habit of We might follow up with some emails occasionally, but for the most part, the shows stand alone, I think. Is that the case?
Yeah, they seem to.
I like to keep them encompassed so that if you miss one, you don't really feel like you're out of the loop or anything. So they're going to start mixing those into the rotation, which is very cool. Like I said, hopefully we'll get some new listeners with that. For example, maybe people who go to Shoutcast or are looking for Hacking Radio, when they search, we will start coming up on some of those searches. If they do a search for hack and we happen to be on, they might find us and discover us that way and start listening. So that is a very good thing, and we are appreciative of Rant Radio for that. And that should be happening any day now, if it hasn't already, by the time this airs. I've already uploaded the high-quality shows. These are going to be the high bitrate versions like we always stream, and they already have them at Rant Radio, so it's just a matter of getting them into the rotation, which, you know, could be any day now. So that is very cool. We have to throw in a reminder. Again, this is December 2nd. So upcoming this Friday are 2600 meetings, this December the 5th. So Friday after school, after work, make sure you head out to your local 2600 meetings. If you're a regular, by all means, make sure you go. Don't miss it. And if you're a newcomer, go check it out. Feel it out. See what you think. It's December. Everybody's in a good, happy mood. I'm sure they'll be accommodating of new people. So anybody wants to show up to the 2600 meetings, I know Hal, I know you guys are always very accommodating and welcoming of new people. So I think that's pretty much the general consensus for everybody. We try to be open-armed, for lack of a better term. I have actually quite a few emails to talk about. The first one, and Hal, I don't know if you listened to last week's episode or not, but
yep.
The last couple episodes, actually, we talked about Bluetooth a little bit on both of them. Well, Nick84 sent me an email. Good to hear from him again, by the way. I haven't heard from him in a while. I know he's been tied up with school and things like that, so good to hear from him. But he emailed me and corrected me about the Blue Jack Q site that we mentioned, bluejackandtheletterq.com. I mentioned on the show, and I talked about what bluejacking was, but what I mentioned on the show that it was run and created by this 13-year-old kid running the site, and how cool I thought that was to see a young person doing something like this and having fun with it. It's very, very energizing, I guess is a good term, to see that. Very, very good feeling. But at some point, apparently, I must have said dude or something like that. It was a 13-year-old dude. Well, not exactly. It turns out that the person running that site, who goes by the name Jelly Ellie, is a 13-year-old young lady. So, I just wanted to set the record straight, just in case she was listening or someone was listening. Let's put the truth out there. There's a 13-year-old young lady running a very cool site. Nothing changes there. So, I just wanted to put that out there. Thank you, Nick, for letting me know about that. And I also got a couple emails about the other Bluetooth topic we talked about, and that is snarfing, or the snarf attack, a Bluetooth snarf attack. I mentioned that I had done some research and done some reading. I've read the DEF CON presentation. I've seen the posts to the vulnerabilities lists and stuff like that. And I had some people cut and paste that stuff to me and send me links. And they still do not have detailed information on how to do the snarf attack. They all claim that it exists, and they claim that they can do it, but nobody posts proof of how to snarf using Bluetooth. I still have not seen it. Have you seen, Voodoo Hal, have you seen this in action, or have you heard details of how this works?
No, but I think I'm going to start doing some research of my own as well.
Yeah, I did some mediocre research. I didn't do real, real deep. I mean, I could really hit some underground stuff and look, but I did some pretty tentative searching, some pretty medium searching, and I did not see any details. It was just unsubstantiated claims, even some offers saying they could prove this to the press if need be. Well, I'm the press. Prove it to me. I still haven't seen anything. So until I see some more details that I can question and go through it and go, yeah, that sounds right, or no, that doesn't sound like it would work, or, you know, something like that, I'm still not sold. I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just saying I have to see it to believe it. And that's pretty much my motto on life.
Well, you guys don't hear from me for about a month. It's because I was arrested for stalking a suit who had a Bluetooth phone while doing testing.
Exactly. Or what was the term you said earlier? I jokingly referred to that as line-of-sight networking because of the limited range.
Personal area networks.
Personal area networks. There's probably the not politically correct term, I guess you'd say, the official term.
I think that's what it is, yeah. Sounds a little, I'll leave it alone.
Yeah. So, if somebody wants to send me detailed information, I'd be glad to read it. And I'm, again, looking on my own, but I just haven't seen anything. I've been to bluesniff.shmoo.com. That's like the site that's software that's supposed to be able to do some of this stuff. Unfortunately, I don't have a Bluetooth phone that I can put this on and try some of this, or I can test against the phone anyway. So I can't try the actual software, but even reading about the software, I didn't see any detailed specs saying that it could snarf and how it could snarf. And
actually,
I don't know.
A friend of mine made a good point today in class. He just bought a new Mac, and we were talking about Bluetooth keyboards and things like that. And Microsoft actually sends a small Bluetooth, I don't know what to call it, base transmitter, I guess, for the people who don't already have Bluetooth support. So I'm wondering if you could just buy one of those, pop it onto your USB drive, and run around with it like it was a standard Bluetooth device, or not necessarily device, but a Bluetooth transmitter receiver base station thing.
Well, you'd have to write some kind of application interface to gather information and put it to the USB drive.
Right.
And I don't know, I wouldn't know really where to begin with that, actually. Something that's constantly active as though a server or a TSR program, but you can't execute something on a, well, anyway, I don't know. Potentially, yeah, I guess it's an interesting idea. Don't know if it's if it could actually work. So if somebody has information on snarfing, you know how to get in touch with us. I also have a correction to last week. Well, I guess this is the second one, because actually mentioning Jelly Ellie calling her a dude was a mistake, so I apologize there. But I also just had a total brain fart last week when I was talking, because I guess because I had my mind in the whole cell phone thing, I mistakenly, I was talking about the treasure hunt game. and I accidentally said GSM. It's not GSM. I had cell phone on the brain or something. I had my technologies mixed up. What I meant to say, and obviously, and several people pointed this out, is GPS, Global Positioning System. That's what I was meant to say, and somehow I said the wrong thing. Now, the game I was talking to, I did do some subsequent research, and it's called geocaching, geocaching.com, and there are others besides that one, but that's the particular one. And it is, like I described, it's a treasure hunt where people can go out there and post the absolute coordinates of where they've buried these time capsules and treasures and stuff like that, and then people can go on there and find that and take their GPS device, say I got it right that time, GPS device, and go out there and find that. So, correcting myself, that was just a total slip of the tongue. So, anybody who's interested in that, definitely go check that out. And in the forums, there is a thread started for that now by the person correcting me, so I'm sure he would be happy, he or she, I think it's a he, would be happy. Well, see, I shouldn't say that, and I'll be doing a correction next week. We'll just say this person would probably be happy.
Oh, you gotta be PC now?
Yeah, I've got to be careful, I guess. Well, you know what? No, because I'm about to go slap off in a couple seconds with a patented stank dog rant. But before I do, let me just...
The mother's out of the room, get the kids in the next...
Yeah, you know what, and at the top of my show notes, and you can vouch for this, and anybody who's been on the show can vouch, at the very top of my show notes, I list the intro music, I put a note to remind myself to start the timer, which we always go over, I never got in a 60-minute show in or less, and I have a note that says, control your language, don't curse so much. I just deleted it this week. I knew there's no way I'm going to do this because it's about one of my favorite companies, and yes, that's sarcasm. Well, you know what, let me just close up. Okay, let me just round out the housekeeping section. That was it. Geocaching.com if you want to check out what I mentioned. And like I said, go to the forums, and there's at least one thread out there, and I'm sure there's other people that might be interested. So go check that out. And that's all I have for the old mailbag. Now, before I talk about my rant, you know what? Let me get a sip of iced tea here before I blow my throat out. Okay.
The nectar of life when you live in the South, right?
Yeah, exactly. Gotta have my super sweet iced tea, homemade, by the way. Well, of course.
Lots of high fructose corn.
Exactly. Exactly. Got to put all that sugar in there. It's not sweet. It's not good sweet iced tea unless when you're done with the pitcher, there's still sugar granules left in the bottom. That's good iced tea. I spent the beginning of this week. I finally got some time. We had holidays. I was off for a couple days and had a nice long 4-day weekend. I finally got caught up on a lot of little things that I had left not finished. And in particular, my writing. When I write, I've got several articles that are pretty close to being completed and in various stages of being completed, but I don't like to just... I like to take my time and edit my own work. I'm very critical. I want to go back and make sure I find any spelling mistakes, grammar mistakes, factual mistakes, of course. I don't want to put anything in there that's incorrect. So I'm very picky. I don't just finish it, give it the once-over, and send it out. I like to sit on it for a couple days, look at it again like a week later with fresh eyes to make sure, you know, that I can understand and comprehend my own writing. So I had several articles in that stage. So during the holidays, I put the finishing touches on some of those articles. I sent two into 2600. I already had one into 2600 about a month ago. I'm not sure if that got in time or if they just weren't interested in it. But that makes a total of three articles into 2600 right now. And I also sent one into FRAC for the first time. I've never submitted anything to FRAC. And frankly, I'm a little skeptical on this one because while I like it, I think it's a really good article. And Hal, without giving the topic away, this is the one I had sent you to proofread, to help proofread one time.
Right.
I sent you a very early version of it, and I went through and edited it myself, formatted it well, and the format that FRAC likes, but it's very much a mathematics and statistics article, and less really on computing directly. It's an underground topic in mathematics, and it's an interesting, at least I thought it was, but I'm not sure if they want to, if they're only going to do strictly computers, and historically that is what they do. So I don't know if it's really their style of content, but I figured I'd give them a shot and see what they thought of it, and if not, then we'll take it somewhere else. And other than those, I started editing the 1.3, BenRev 1.3 submission. So, that is still ongoing. That takes some time, because we got some really detailed articles this time. And I'm working on that. Unfortunately, it's going a little slow. I've been swamped at work, but we are. It is still in process. It's going, and it will be out as soon as we can possibly get it out to you. So I appreciate everybody that's asking for it, and we will try to get it out to you ASAP. Duel is helping and offered to help do some editing, and Logan, he's basically waiting on us to get him some stuff to get going. So it is in process. Now, did you have, before I go into this, I just know I'm not going to be able to control myself. So maybe you should bring something up for a second before I go just slap off.
Unfortunately, I've been a lazy ass since the last time I was on, doing pretty much nothing for the most part.
Well, real life. I know you've been working some sick hours lately.
Oh, God, yeah. 10 straight days, 12 hours a day.
Whew.
Count them, 120 hours.
Mo' money.
No shit. Find a new server.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you've got some very good plans for that. Actually, you know, maybe is this a good time to talk about that? Or did you want to keep that under wraps until you actually implement?
Which one are we talking about? The Brigel? Or?
Yeah.
We could talk about that. I think people would be interested in it.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, your other server that you're talking about. Yeah, you can. Why don't you talk about that? Talk about that project for a few minutes.
All right. Well, one thing I suggested with everybody, and hopefully we're going to do it, is setting up an LDAP server, which is, some of you don't know what it is, it's Lightweight Directory Services. And what we're going to try to do is, and add a couple little hacks to the board as well, so that people who use NetMeeting or GNOME Meeting, which they both should work just fine, they use the same protocols, can access them and show who's online. And what we can do is hopefully have the site underneath someone's name, on their posts, and show if they're available to chat, and basically do voice communication through the board and have this LDAP directory so that we can have this kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that's very cool. It's not the same as a conference. It's not the same as a conline, but at least we'd have a lot more control over it. You'd have control over who you connected to, obviously, so you wouldn't connect to guests or people who are going to, you know, mess around. And, you know, you can actually, is this going to, it can be chat, it can be voice, are we also going to support video?
It's supported by the thing, so it's nothing that we have to necessarily support.
So if the two
already
people,
supported, yeah.
As long as the two people have their video cameras or something set up, we can have this so that two people can chat to each other in real time, face to face.
Exactly.
Could be very, very cool. And of course, it's not required. You can do voice, you can do whatever, but yeah, basically any time, as long as the other person's online, I think that's a very, very cool thing. I'm looking forward to it. I think it could be fun anyway.
And for everyone who decides to go with video, remember to turn that auto accept invitations off, because no one wants to see your naked ass when you just got out of the shower.
Exactly. Oh, look, Snake Dog's on the phone. I won't put any clothes on. I'll just IM him right away with my camera on.
or even worse, somebody messages you, and if you've got it automatically set up to accept,
yeah.
on and you don't know about it.
Ooh. Oh, Vida Guerrero, you're so hot. Bling! Oh, I'm sorry, that was embarrassing.
Do I see Bland dancing around in his room singing The Sound of Music?
Yeah.
That's it.
Buck naked with a sock hanging from his crotch. Yeah, that's a great visual. And his big, well-hung dog trailing around behind him. Boy, there's an image to put in everyone's mind. Ugh. Okay, well, you know what? Speaking of images, I might as well get this over with. I am so insanely pissed off. And see, I took the language warning off because I am just so fucking pissed off at America Online. I have AOL Instant Messenger. I don't particularly like Trillian. Yeah, don't send me hate mail. Trillian has never supported video conferencing and audio and stuff like that in the past. I don't know if it does now. Don't even bother trying to convince me. I prefer just having the separate clients running and starting them up when I want to use them. So, AOL, in their infinite wisdom, has decided, everybody knows that there's the little, I don't know if you call it a banner ad, but that little button ad thing that's at the top of the AOL Instant Message client, they have decided now to send streaming fucking video down there instead of just being a picture or a graphic that I can ignore, and I've gotten really good at ignoring banner ads. I don't even see them half the time unless they pop up at me or make noise. I've got a streaming fucking movie blaring at me through the AOL Instant Message chat client. That's fucking sick! That's absolutely sick and too damn intrusive. They've completely blown any chance of being a corporate office-used application. You can't have AOL Messenger, and all of a sudden, you're streaming movies and sound through people's speakers in the middle of their office place. It's ludicrous. I don't even know who sat around and came up with this idea. Whoever it is needs to be kicked dead square on in the balls and or cooch, whatever the case may be. I'm so pissed off that it's not even good, because it's not even executed well, I should say, because it locks the damn client up. I can't even click on the X to kill it. It's not even, you know, it's locks up the system. I have to go to Task Manager and kill the damn process to get rid of the stupid thing. It's the dumbest idea that I've ever heard of. Whatever executive or whoever made this decision, they want to squeeze every bit of advertising they can. They're going to put these intrusive ads on these things. The next thing it's going to be, you know, they're delivering it, obviously. They can deliver this type of content. And everybody hates those, flash ads, like the Hulk ad that came out for a while there, and all those cars where the car races across your browser screen and stuff. Now, with AOL Messenger, what's going to stop that from just being completely on my screen? Damn Ford Escort races across my screen. Buy Ford. Fuck you! I am going to uninstall this damn client and switch to Trillian out of sheer principle, unfortunately, there's too many people that are using AIM that I need to communicate with. I would switch completely to one of the other clients. But the more dangerous thing about this is, besides the fucking annoyance factor of the whole thing, is when you right-click on that, if it's not locked up and frozen, which it is 99% of the time, if you right-click on the ad itself, there are properties to that. And you can look under the properties, I forget what it's called, statistics, properties, info, something like that. It tells you what codecs are used. I don't remember installing any fucking codecs! AOL, if you are pushing this fucking software without asking me, without permission, if you are forcing codecs onto my system that could potentially interfere with the operation of my computer, that's fucked up and it's damn right illegal. You cannot install software on my system without my accepting the licensing agreement. And I don't remember seeing in the AOL client, and I haven't updated it in a long time. I find it hard to believe it's been dormant all this time as part of the client. I think they pushed, I'm popping my peas in the microphone, I think they pushed the codec down through their client and installed it on my system without my permission, video and audio codecs, and then the content behind it. And if that's true, that is a lawsuit waiting to happen. My system has been screwed up. It's been crashing, it doesn't want to reboot sometimes. Yeah, it's because it's Windows XP, which sucks dog ass. But on top of that, now I don't know if AOL has installed some shit on there that's conflicting with something else. It's not compatible with my video or sound card. Who knows? You've added an X factor that most people don't know about. that could potentially, I mean, what if this was a production system in an office environment or a server or something? Obviously, ideally, you wouldn't want the messenger client on some type of server like that, but, you know, in an office somewhere that can have it, and you're taking down people's work machines? That's a lawsuit waiting to happen. If somehow some office gets screwed up or loses data, oh my God, sell your AOL Time Warner stock because they are about to get sued the fuck out of the water. I don't think I've given this out in a while. I'm going to give AOL the fucktard, the fucknut of the month award. I'm going to switch it to the fucktard of the month award. They're fucking idiots. I don't know how else to say. I don't think I can say it without bad words because there aren't any polite words good enough to get the point across. They're fucking idiots.
Well, let's have a little history lesson real quick. Back in the day, some people may remember these things called dial-up modems that connected at slow-ass speeds. Now then, your average home user with a dial-up modem would connect and maybe start up AIM. Can you imagine now having to download video that you didn't want to have or didn't want to see now being downloaded for you on your slow-ass dial-up modem?
Yep. There are still people at 56K, there's still people at 28.8, and probably less out there in some places. And, yeah, streaming audio and video? Forget about it. It's greedy, greedy advertising. They're looking for advertising dollars. I've said it on the show many times. It's the almighty dollar. That's what it all comes down to. They want to get a couple extra bucks from this movie, and I'm not even going to say the name of the movie because fuck them. They're not getting any advertising from me. They can suck my hairy nutsack before I mention their name on the air. They get the Fuck Nut of the Month award. AOL, fuck you, AOL Time Warner. Take that clip, repeat it 500 times, fuck you AOL Time Warner, 500 times, and that's how I feel about it. Now, there was an article in 2600, probably, gosh, maybe even a year or more ago, about blocking those ads. Do you have any idea if that still works, or did they fix that in a later client or something?
I have no idea, but I'm assuming it's probably requesting it from somewhere, so if you can figure out which ad server it's requesting it from and block it at the firewall level, it's a toast anyway, so...
Yeah.
Unless they're going to bring it back over the same port that you're connected on, which I seriously doubt.
Well, you know, the easier solution is what I said. Just get the fuck rid of it.
Exactly.
I think maybe it's time for me to give Trillian a try again. Maybe that's my excuse to give Trillian a shot again.
With a nice theme, Trillian can be all right, you know, because the default theme looks pretty ugly.
Well, does it still lack support for video and audio conferencing through the individual... protocols?
Yeah, I believe so. But that's, I also use games, so.
Yeah, alright. Well, I'm going to have to do a little research and come up with another solution because I am not about to have that. Now, I'll never know. I'll also never have peace of mind whether my system is screwed up because they've installed something on it. It's called a virus. It's illegal. You installed some shit on my computer without my permission.
It's only legal when big business doesn't do it.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm supposed to trust AOL Time Warner? That's all. Oh, no, it was only video and audio codecs. Well, did you pull information at the same time? Did you scan my computer for something? I don't know what the hell you've done.
For a great, great, great hack. Can you imagine all these, like, corporate clients who all decided to use AIM, and if you could manage to intercept that stream and have, like, a porn video running that top thing for everybody?
Oh,
that
man.
That would be great.
How embarrassing would that be? That's why I said they've blown any chance of being a corporate solution. You know, I use AOL Messenger at work to communicate with other people at work for work topics. And there are several companies right now competing to get that niche market of only because... Companies, corporations don't like the big messengers because they know that people have a tendency to get on and chat with friends and family online. And they don't want you to do that, obviously. You're at work, you should only be communicating with your fellow employees. So they're rolling out corporate solutions to give you instant messaging within the corporation, within the company that won't reach outside. It's customized for internal use only. And a lot of those are custom versions of existing clients. I think Yahoo has a corporate version that you can use Yahoo's protocols and software to do. Lotus makes one, I believe. I don't know what theirs is called or what it's based on, but Lotus has one that integrates with the notes package and all their other stuff for internal communication. AOL just blew any shot at that. There went all their credibility. So those guys trying to squeeze a little extra couple pennies out of advertising blew an entire potential market. So good job. Way to think ahead, guys. Fucktards.
Well, what's even worse is not only, you know, having your corporate users chatting with their friends and family and whoever the hell else they want at work, where AOL constantly communicates back to the home server, constantly. And in an environment with 5,000 users, you could probably consume a T1, you know, with just the data from AIM if you have 5,000 plus users.
Oh, man. I'm going to have to, well, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm probably going to switch to Trillium. Probably going to switch to Trillium or something similar. Well, with that out of the way, I think I might maintain some control because the rest of the show for me is going to be pretty fun, I think.
Oh, yeah, this is definitely going to be fun.
And actually, this might be, I guess, we're talking about, you know, we're in our little personal hacking section, and I know what you've been spending time, besides all the work and stuff, is you were doing a little undercover work. Is that a good...
Yeah, maybe a little. So how do you want to start this one?
Well, I guess... Well... it, you know, this is just so funny, and I don't know... There's no delicate way to approach it.
Yeah, fuck it.
There's
typically
no,
the big hack, guys.
The big hack. And boy, is it. I'm coming right out on the radio right now to tell you the big hack is definitely a big hack. So for all of you, you've seen about it, you've heard about it, you've heard people raving about it, no pun intended. You've heard people talking about what this project is. But the irony here, the funny, the humor to me anyway, is not what this project is supposed to be, but it's what this project actually is. Is it the big hack? Is it a big hack? Yes, I'd have to say it is. Is that you think?
Oh, definitely. Probably one of the biggest I've seen in a while.
It is a big hack, all right. Let me... You know what? Probably the best thing is to read... give me a little leeway here, and let me read this to you, because I think this explains it better. The short version is that the big hack is fiction. Now, what do I mean by that? Because even I had to read a couple times because my jaw dropped. I'm like, what? Let me read to you the description written by the creators of the Big Hack. And this information comes from hackback.org. These are the people that are running the Big Hack. HACKBACK, hackback.org. Quote, "The site you are about to enter is fiction. The story takes place in the present day, at the present time. Many current events will make their way into the story. Please do not fool yourself into confusing this with reality. It is not. This is entirely fiction. It is simply a funhouse for your intellect. Think of the Big Hack as a high-tech, quote, host your own murder mystery dinner. Like any book or play, it has been completely authored in advance. It will progress from introduction through pre-planned story threads and build to a final, intriguingly scripted climax. It will not seem like this is impossible. It is. Do not fool yourself. Many will." Oh, many will. Many did. Many have. "The Big Hack is immersive fiction." Those are your words, people. Immersive fiction. And if to take a pause out of reading here for a second, we talked, Rax and I mentioned about how immersive the Matrix was and how you felt like you were a part of it. Immersive fiction is what this is. Now, go back to reading this. The Big Hack is immersive fiction. The characters in this interactive world will not acknowledge this truth. Please do not attempt to induce them to. This merely points out the obvious, much like telling the person next to you in a theater that the movie is not real. This behavior is considered annoying and childish. Repeated attempts to do so are grounds for inactivating your character. There is one other restriction on use of the Big Hack. Okay, now listen carefully to this voodoo hack, because this is the problem. Okay? There is one other restriction on use of the Big Hack. Due to the potential for confusion, external linking to the BigHack.org site is expressly prohibited, including all URLs within the BigHack.org in the domain using any protocol. This includes the root page as well as all subpages. Linking by search engines is also expressly prohibited. Now, I hope everyone listening, I emphasized the words, I read that as clearly as I could with my southern accent. God, I got an urge for a snow cone right now. I'm going to summarize what we just read. This is the land of make-believe, people. We're back on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood here. The Big Hack is fake. Anybody who thinks that you are writing some kind of application that's going to blow the lid off the copyright industry, and you think you're over there posting thousands of posts and getting all into this project, you are being played. Literally. Like a game. Because it is a game. It's fiction. The problem was that last paragraph. They're contradicting themselves in this. It says that they will not acknowledge this truth. They don't want you to talk about it. Don't ask them to talk about it. They want you to be immersive. They don't want you to come out and admit that it's fake. Yet at the same time, if nobody knows it's fake, everybody thinks it's real. So everybody over there, I'd be just insanely interested to find out who knows what they're doing and why they're doing it, and that this is a big, and I apologize for saying this, but a big waste of time if you think you're developing a productive, you know, useful application, that is. It's not a waste of time in that you could possibly learn a lot from it and writing some code and stuff, but if you think you're in some big world-changing event, you're not. You're in a choose-your-own-adventure story. You remember those from when we were a kid?
Turn to page 437 for...
Do you swing your sword at the ogre, or do you cast your spell? Turn to page. This is completely fiction, and I find it utterly amazing. From the get-go, fundamentally, I had problems with the whole concept of this would never hold up in any court. Copyright would go right; it would eat this alive. It's not fundamentally sound. It's not based on a good foundation. And we've talked about that before, and that's why I purposely stayed away from the whole thing and stayed away from the topic. But as far as it being the Big Hack, this thing fished in several people, hundreds, if not thousands, easily hundreds that are registered on the site and stuff like that, including someone very close to this conversation.
Yeah, of course, I don't know whom.
Yeah, of course you were undercover for the good of the team, but a lot of people got fished in and are partaking in this and putting their everything into this and not knowing that they're being played. And that's not cool in my personal opinion.
Well, the biggest, I guess we could call this the big irony, is the next thing about the submission of content.
Yeah, you know, the second part of this story is, well, first of all, hackback.org, they're giving contradictory messages, like I said. If you look on the site and read, and by all means, don't take our word for it, go check it out and read it for yourself and find out that it's fake, because they have other upcoming projects as well. They come out and say that they don't want to come out and admit that it's fake, they don't want to tell anybody. Does anybody know that the hack that hackback.org is actually fronting the big hack? Everybody thinks that the bighack.org is its own thing, this digital dowd or digital dude, which sounds awfully close to digital dog pound, but I'm not even going to go there. Are running some big, you know, this is some big hacking breakthrough, this big hack. Well, no. And here's the super irony of the whole thing. You know what the whole story and idea is based on? It's a little something called the big con. Ironically, they conned a lot of people into this. So this is just hilarious to me. Absolutely hilarious. Now, what Voodoo Hal was alluding to is, I'm going to do a little bit more reading for you, because if you do some more reading on the details of this, and their disclaimers and their legal mumbo-jumbo, for lack of a better term, I stumbled across this little tidbit. It's number 7 on their legals page. It's submission of content on this website. And it says, quote, by providing any content to our website, A, you agree to grant to us a worldwide, royalty-free, perpetual, non-exclusive right and license, including any moral rights and other necessary rights to use, display, reproduce, modify, adapt, publish, distribute, perform, promote, archive, translate, and to create derivative works and compilations, in whole or in part. Such license will apply with respect to any form, media, technology known or later developed. If you send us creative suggestions, ideas, notes, drawings, or other information, collectively referred to now as the submissions shall be deemed and shall remain the property of Hackback Media. None of the submissions shall be subject to any obligation of confidence on the part of Hackback Media, and Hackback Media shall not be liable for any use or disclosure of any submissions. Without limitation to the foregoing, Hackback Media shall exclusively own all now known or hereafter existing rights to the submissions of every kind and nature throughout the universe, and shall be entitled to unrestricted use of the submissions for any purpose whatsoever, commercial or otherwise, without compensation to the provider of the submissions. Voodoo Hal, why don't you translate that? You can translate that one very short and easily.
Well, basically, anything that you do for this site, it belongs to them. Which, the irony to that is, the whole thing about the big hack was to prove that digital copyright didn't exist, or is not valid, I should say, but yet they want to copyright everything that you do.
That's brilliant. That's a slap in the face. That's a slap in the face, right? That's what that is. Oh, man. Now, I know I'm going to get a lot of hate mail about this, too, by the way, for airing this out. But, hey, I'm not the one that got fished in. That's all I'm saying. Yeah, they, you know, and what is the point of this? A, I don't like, I'm disappointed that, like I said earlier, there is something to be gained from this. Okay, let's not completely take everything away. If someone goes on here and learns how to write some programs and how to organization of putting together a plan and going through and, you know, working together, and there's a lot of stuff that could be taken out of this. But all of that work towards a fictional goal seems a little wasteful to me. There are so many other things that your time could have been spent on that were real. Yeah, lots and lots and lots of time that could have been spent on real things and not fictional things. There's nothing wrong with fiction, and if they're enjoying it, I'm not putting them down whatsoever. But my gut tells me that almost everyone, except maybe the creator and one or two people, they come right out and claim that they have actors. They have plants in this game whose job it is to push the plot and story along. They have actors in this. Ironically, the actors aren't allowed to tell anything or say that it's fake, which to me seems like, I don't know if entrapment is the word, But how can you not tell somebody, you're not allowed to tell them that they're part of a game, are you also not telling them that they've waived all of their copyrights for the work that they put into this project, and that you can take it right out from under them without even telling them that it was coming in the first place?
Well, I mean, isn't that correct? They added that terms and conditions thing down at the bottom, but that's about it. The only forewarning.
Yeah, I mean, it's very, very misleading, to say the least. To say the least, it's very misleading. So, you know, I'm not sure. I mean, they are admitting that it's fiction. You just have to look real hard to find that. And even that, they make it sound so cryptic. And the way they word it carefully to say, you know, that it's... They try to still, even with the choice of words, make it look like it's still towards a worthwhile or towards a legitimate goal. That goal, however, they own 100%. So let's take this on. Let's see how this could possibly play out. A, the game plays out to the very end, and they archive the whole thing, and or publish it somehow and get paid and sell advertising on it, even put it into a book form or something, or use names and likenesses or something like that, and make money off of it. B, let's say, somehow, which is, again, this is highly unlikely, why I've had problems fundamentally with it, but let's say, for sake of argument, that the whole system, whatever they called it, off, or whatever that system is called, of breaking down copyright law and their ways around copyright law, their theory, it's a good sit-around-drinking-beer idea. Hey, wouldn't it be cool if we separated files using a one-time pad to recreate? You know, hey, yeah, that does sound fun. Well, then you're supposed to drop it. But to take it this far to actually go towards this project seems to me like it's, you know, doomed from the get-go. But anyway, let's say that it did work, and let's say that this whole thing was developed by all these, quote, players in this game, this interactive fiction. They have the rights to it. The owners of Hackback have the right to that. So all that time and work that you put into it, and they turn around and turn it into the next Napster, Kazaa, multi-million dollar file sharing application, and they got all of the hackers of the world to do it for them. My God, does the name Hackback fit ever so appropriately? Because they will have hacked the hackers. And that is elite. It's shameful. It's shameful for some people, but this was the ultimate feat of social engineering, and still is, because the people who don't listen to this radio show are going to continue to be fished into this and not know any better. And anybody who actually goes over there and tries to open their eyes and post maybe a link to the radio show or post in the forums that it's fake or whatever information they got, they're not allowed to, and they will be banned for it. So, like, how do you get to the truth to these people? It's almost like a brainwashing, like a cult or some weird... I hate to use that word like that, but I don't know what else... I don't know how else to describe it or to use it. It's like, hey, all the people on this site, you can't tell them that we're screwing them. You can't come in and tell them. You're not allowed. You have to leave them to their delusions. So I don't know what to do about this. I can bring it out on the show and I can air it out and I can tell everybody it's a big con. It's a big con. It's a big hack. There's no doubt it is the big hack. It lives up to its namesake. But people, know what you're in for. If you know and understand that you are participating in a game, a piece of interactive fiction, immersive fiction, and you accept that, and you're okay with it, and you know that they have full rights to everything, and you're just doing it because you enjoy it, hey, we have no problems. Have fun. I back you 100%. But I don't think everybody knows. Am I way off here? Do you think?
I'm so, like, I'm sure that there are hardly, there are very few people that have any clue as to what's going on. But the really funny part is trying to figure out who the hell does know what's really going on.
Yeah, you know, and the great thing from this, the funniest part that we're going to have is the fallout. Fallout from this is going to be people going, oh, no, I knew all along. I knew it wasn't real. Come on. I knew the whole time. Yeah, I was just acting. I was just playing along with the whole thing. Yeah, that's going to be fun. The spin control is going to be great. Man. Dude, I can't believe we just outed this. See, I mean, did you feel the same way I do? When I found, I instant messaged this to you, remember?
Yeah.
And when I first saw it, I was so shocked, frankly, and so amazed. I'm like, could I possibly be reading what I just... Am I understanding this correctly? And
yeah,
I sent it to you, and I'm like, does this sound to you the same way it sounds to me? Or is this really what I think it is? I mean, that feeling, remember that feeling as we both read that?
Yeah, I had to read it quite a few times.
Yeah, I could, because out of disbelief is why. Out of pure, I'm like, no, they didn't. No, he couldn't possibly have... I think he did. No, he couldn't possibly have just snowed... But yeah, he did. It's completely... Oh.
Exactly.
What? You know what? I'm going to send a thank you. I'm going to send a thank you to Hackback, because that made my week. That made my month. That made my year. That was the most elite hack that I've seen in a long time. I'm giving credit for that. I don't like it. I think some people are going to get screwed and made to be look like idiots and look like fools because they got caught up in it. But damn, that was cool.
Hell yeah.
That was elite. And that's what you get for blindly following anything in life. I'm going to turn this into a moral. This is like a Aesop's fable. Don't just follow people. Read, research, understand what you're in. The information was there. I found it. Do a little bit of research, and you could have seen that this was all fake. Could have known that it was all fake. And, no, people just sign up, create an account, start playing along, start writing code, start buying into the whole thing. Going out to other message boards, posting, hey, you guys, come check this out. Linking directly to the site, which they say is a violation of their rules. They do not want you linking directly to the big hack. They want you to link to hackback.org. Legally, that covers them. They can say, hey, we told people not to do it. And they can't police the whole thing. You can't know what search engines have found your page and marked it. You know, I didn't check the robots.txt file to see if they're excluding or what they're excluding.
Right.
But it could be on any search engine you not know. And all the users that you got, you don't know where they've posted it. You don't know where they've spread the word to. And if those sites don't get search engines, you're never going to find them. Unless you want to look through your logs and follow back every link. And then you're going to take it upon yourself of all the maintenance of going to every forum and going, no, don't link to that site. Link to this site, please.
There's a simple solution is just to, because most of their sites, PHP boards and things like that, is just searching for the referrer. When somebody accesses it.
Right.
Not just saying, yeah, fuck you, you didn't come from the right place. Oh, wait, I just cussed.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Oh, damn. Oh, no.
Oh, darn.
Shit. Oh, no.
Oh, man. Anyway, I guess we're done with that. I still think that's hilarious, and that's going to sit with me for a long time. That's funny.
Should we give them the contact information to send them thank you letters?
You know, I have it here in the notes, and I'm not sure if that would be... No, I don't think we should. Hackback.org, if they want it, they can go and read. Let's make them, now that their eyes have been opened, go read and go find out. And if you want to send them a thank you or a fuck you, find the information there. He's got contact information. He's actually a pretty nice guy. I contacted him on something. Took care of it, no problem. When I say he being a nice guy, I'm saying the person who's running hackback.org. And again, you can find out who that is by going to their site. And he's actually a pretty nice guy, or at least he was to me. I just don't like the idea that these people are being misled. And I guess that's all I have to say about that. So why don't we move on to a couple quick, smaller topics here. We've got a little bit of... Actually, we're right about time, but let's hit a couple quick topics. Here we go back to Bluetooth again. I thought we'd gotten all the Bluetooth out of our system. But this is something I thought cool, and it's very short. and that is the new 2004 Toyota Prius or Prius. How do you pronounce it, the hybrid engine, hybrid car? Is it Prius?
I would say Prius, but, that's me being illiterate. So
right. I think it's pronounced Prius, but Prius, however it's called.
The damn new Toyota in 2004.
The new hybrid. They had a 2003. They had it, it's been around for a couple years, actually, but the new model has Bluetooth in it. Bluetooth support built into the car. You can have hands-free, and it's not the only one. It's in other cars, but this one is just doubly cool because of being a hybrid engine. But with the Bluetooth, you can just sit down in with the car. You don't have to connect any wires. You don't have to hook anything into your stereo. Like my friend had in his SUV, I thought it was really cool that he could put his phone into a little coupler and just use the speakerphone while driving down the road, just free voice using the speakers built into the car and the receiver built into the speakerphone. That was cool. Well, with this, it's the same thing, except you don't even have to drop it in the coupler. Just get in the car. Sit down. You keep it in your holster. You keep it on your belt. You keep it in your pocket, wherever. The Bluetooth takes over, connects with the car, and bam, you can talk through the speakers, talk through the speakerphone stuff built into the car. That's cool. And it'll support up to four different ones you can register. Because the other thing is, it'd be funny if you walk past a car with your Bluetooth phone and start talking on their speakers inside the car. That could be funny. War driving? Is that a new form of war driving?
Well, actually, I don't know if you remember my post a while back when somebody posted on those robotic legs that they were working on for the elderly, but they had displaced that 802.11b. So now not only do you have a robot, an army of robotic elderly people, but now you have a way to transport them.
Yeah.
Yes, you could take over the world.
Yeah, just march them. Yeah, never mind. The word lemmings came to mind, but I won't go there. That's just evil. Oh, God.
We're in Florida with all those old people, so, that could work.
Exactly. Then you can send them east or west. They're going to hit water. It doesn't matter. Or alligator bait.
They'll really be marching to the
sea. I started off in such a bad mood with the whole AOL thing, but, God, I'm such a good mood because that was such a great story. That was, we posted in the forums that there was a big announcement on the show. Now you know what it was. Anyway, the Prius, whatever it's called, hands-free, register up to four phones in it, so you and your friend gets in the car, his phone, his Bluetooth phone will work just as easily as yours, your mom, whoever you have in the car, whatever. But like I said, that's not, I think that's in other cars, but it's extra cool because in the Prius, I'm going to call it the Prius, I don't know, in the Prius, that it's, because of the hybrid engine, you're getting 60 miles per gallon on the highway and 51 in the city. That is elite. That is an amazing piece of machinery, and people should be excited about that. It's gotten more power in this latest one. The problem is the power. So as they start refining and get this working in, where they can start putting some more and more power into it, it's not bad. It's getting better and better. It's almost able to compete with pretty much any other low-end car in a similar price range, similar category. But the fact that this thing uses so much less gasoline and you can get so much farther on it, and in the state of this country right now and the state of the world right now and fuel crisis and all the troubles that spawn from all the money involved with that, screw the gas, man. Screw that. Keep going in this direction. I fully support this. This is a very, very, very good thing. And finally, one more silly, fun little story, and this one makes me laugh, too. Microsoft, our good friends at we can't have an episode without something Microsoft. Microsoft was awarded a patent for, you ready for this, for, you know what, you go with this story, you tell them this story, because I'm about to laugh.
All right. Microsoft was awarded a patent for the your buddy is typing feature on IM software. Yeah, that's right. That little fucking thing that's quite annoying sometimes. Yeah, they have a patent for it.
Microsoft has a patent that soon they will be the only ones that can have a little thing at the bottom that says, your buddy is typing. Oh, yeah, that's earth-shattering right there. Boy, is that not... I'm so glad they got a patent on that.
I just want to know if there's a way to hack that and change the verbs out.
To say?
Your buddy is fucking... What?
Your buddy is jacking off right now. What? Wait, where did that come from?
No!
Oh, and you know, they were awarded the patent. That's the other thing. The patent office, don't even get me started on what a joke that is.
Right.
You can patent so many stupid things, and they'll give you these patents that are just so ridiculous. Is anybody really, is it going to change the instant message war because only one of them has that feature? Oh, well, it's so important to me that I know when my buddy is typing that I have to use the MSN Messenger. I can't use any other. How will I ever know that my buddy is typing?
I can see their new ad, MSN, the stalker's choice.
Yeah, it's so ludicrous. It's so silly, but they got it. And they really do. They went after this because they think they're going to get a leg up in the instant message battle. They think this is going to give them the extra market share because there's so many people out there sitting around with their thumb up their ass going, duh, is my buddy typing? Come on. It's just ridiculous. Just so stupid. How much money do you think? Forget it. Let's wrap the show up, man. Let's close out. This was a fun topics on this show. Oh man. Let's close and let's remind people again that this Friday, the 5th it is, right? Did I say the 5th?
Yeah.
December the 5th, I think it is. This Friday, anyway. Well, yeah, the 5th. This Friday, your 2600 meetings. Go to your 2600 meetings or your DEF CON meetings or your just hang out with your geek friend. Whatever you call it is unimportant. Traditionally, it's been 2600 meetings, but I know there's others now and some people are switching names. And doesn't matter what you call it. Go to the meeting, hang out with fellow hackers, have fun, talk about hacking, talk about security, have fun and laugh at the big hack. Have fun and laugh at whatever it is you want. Go have fun, hang out, meet people, develop some networking. You know, just go do it. Go have fun. Shouts. I think we both were going to send shout-outs to In Theory today. In Theory was on Default Radio this past week with Decoder. Shouts to him again. Decoder's just so funny to me sometimes. Like he and I will just instant message and laugh so much during the day, and I come out of a meeting frustrated and he makes me laugh. Shouts to Decoder, shouts to In Theory. Welcome back, man. We're going to try to have In Theory, if he can make it, on the show next week, or at least sometime in the near future, get him back in the show more often. Very elite guy. And did you have anybody else? Do you want to shout out your snow cone buddies at Freaknik? Or...
shout out to Hillbilly Hackers.
Hillbilly Hackers.
Aldo Rivera. Without him, I wouldn't have my undercover skills.
Yeah.
Also,
And for anybody who doesn't get that little end joke about the Hillbilly Hackers, that was like on, oh my gosh, what episode... The episode. Go back through the episode list and search for Freaknik in the show notes and re-listen to that episode, and you'll get the little snow cone joke.
Shouts to Bland's well-hung dog. yeah, we have to give shouts to him.
Yeah, that's going to have to make it in the gallery at some point, but I'm just scared. Bland loves to Photoshop Duel, and that could get ugly. That could get really ugly, so I hope that doesn't happen. Oh, shout-outs to anybody filling up the gallery. The gallery is so fun to look at, and there's so many cool screenshots out there. Some people just have so much more artistic talent and creativity than I do. I love going out there and looking at that stuff. I guess that's it. Did I interrupt you? Did you have another?
No, that's it.
Are we done with the shouts? All right. We are going to close with another new group. It's called, they're pronounced Shun, but it's S-S-I-O-N if you want to search for it, and of course we'll put the link up. And the song is called Who's Your Favorite Baby? A little throwback, I like that song. Email us letters@benrev.com, and that is it. So, Voodoo Hal, when are we going to see everyone again?
Next week.
Same hack time?
Same hack channel.
You got it.
teacher is